Welcome to the Calvary St. George's Sermon Podcast, proclaiming the historic faith of Christ and Him crucified. These podcasts are recorded and produced by the Parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. For more information, head to calvarystgeorges.org.
And a very warm welcome to you to Calvary St. George's today on this first Sunday of the new year, the second Sunday of Christmas. And one of the themes that we find being played out in the second chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel is the consistency of inconsistency. And this is a very important topic, especially in light of the anticipation that comes with the new year. You know, this year I'm going to finally be consistent. This year is going to be the year I'm going to lose that weight that I put on 7 years ago. This is going to be the year I'm finally going to read those great works of literature that have been sitting on my shelf. I'm not talking about me, but every year, most of us make attempts of being finally consistent in our lives. And then we pick it up again at Lent and try, but we try. But if I'm honest, I'm already consistent about my life, and that is being inconsistent. The consistency of inconsistency defines the human experience. Although we live with the delusion that life is consistent, you know, there's that old saying, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. Nonsense. There's a whole lot of inconsistency called life thrown into the mix. And the inconsistency of life, as we've experienced, is really, really messy. Some of you know this. All of a sudden, one loses their job, and that sweet 401k retirement that was consistent with the job is now gone. Although you were hoping for it, maybe there has been no love. The marriage came to an end. The child was born, and all the dreams kind of were crushed because the child has a problem. There's a car accident. There's a war that breaks out in your country and just never seems to end. A tornado sweeps through your house right before Christmas. This inconsistency called life is articulated in Matthew chapter 2, our reading today, in the reason why the family fled to Egypt. No one in Bethlehem with sons two or younger were planning on having them killed by a jealous despot king. But this is my first point. Life is filled with inconsistency. It never works out the way we planned it, whether it be from the mundane like resolutions to the extreme like war, natural disasters, accidents, or sickness. I was thinking about this and our gospel reading in light of a recent trip I made to Big Daddy Diner. You know, the place you take all of your out-of-town friends to when you want to really impress them. But anyway, they do have an amazing selection of cereal. But at the counter, I was listening, and I heard these well-meaning people, but completely misinformed, talking about Christianity. So, of course, I started to eavesdrop. And I was listening in, and the closing remark by the person opposed to Christianity was essentially articulating the consistency of inconsistency. He said essentially this, "Yeah, I don't buy it, because the God of the Old Testament is so wrathful, and Jesus is just this really nice guy. They seem so different." And essentially what he was saying was the Bible lacked continuity and any sense of consistency. But this is a huge misunderstanding. Our gospel reading today from Matthew reminds us that when it comes to God and his plan of salvation for you in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the scriptures and the promises it contains are consistent. This is why Matthew writes over and over again in his gospel, so that what had been spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. To demonstrate that in the inconsistency of life, there is one thing that is consistent: God's gospel promise to you in Jesus Christ. If you read the Bible like most people read it, they read it like a yearbook. And what did you do when you got your yearbook? You looked for yourself first. If you read the Bible looking for yourself in it first, or looking for advice on a diet or a financial resolution, it makes no sense. One might argue it does indeed lack consistency. However, if you read the scriptures how they were intended to be read, if you look for Christ, then you begin to see that the scriptures are held from Genesis to Revelation by a consistent meta-narrative colored red with the blood of Christ. In order to fulfill, as we read in our gospel reading, what was spoken by the prophets. St. Augustine of Hippo, who we're going to study later on in the spring at our forum, once said, speaking of the biblical consistency, he said, "The new covenant is contained in the old covenant, and the old is explained by the new." And this is my second point. St. Matthew writes, so what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He writes that to articulate that the word of the Lord is consistent. To convey that when God speaks, his word is always fulfilled. Not right away. As we read, it takes thousands of years. But that word indeed has been perfectly fulfilled and consistently fulfilled in what St. Paul refers to as the fullness of time in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this is very, very important because Scripture and our common experience tell us that God isn't a micromanager in heaven. He doesn't prevent tidal waves. He doesn't prevent earthquakes. He doesn't prevent stray bullets, drunk drivers, or as we hear today, despot dictators. But the good news of the gospel found in Matthew chapter 2 is that this consistent word of God doesn't come to us the way we hoped life would be. But this consistent word of God, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us in the midst of how life actually is. Brutal. Chapter 2. And all of Matthew's gospel assures us that Jesus is God's consistent answer to our questions of why. Especially those questions of why that are so often spoken into the silence of despair when nothing else seems to make sense. And you see this being played out in Matthew's gospel. You see it begins with Elijah or John the Baptist, and then it tells the birth narrative, and then it begins with Elijah again in his birth, in Jesus' birth. And then this holy family goes off into Egypt to be the new Israel, to come up out of it through the River Jordan and into the desert like that first Israel. But this faithful Israel remains in the wilderness for 40 days before he begins to, as the new Joshua, to go into the land and conquer the enemies of God, which is in the gospel, sin, death, and the power of darkness. And this is very, very powerful because it assures us that God's word and his answer is faithful to you. For this firstborn of Mary, while indeed spared Herod's sword, would be the true Israel who would be called out of Egypt, grow up in Nazareth, and as the representative of all of humanity in his perfect life, take upon himself the sentence of and not be spared God's judgment, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. And through his atoning death for you and glorious resurrection for you, by the Holy Spirit, he might consistently apply and bring life, forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace with God to the inconsistency of our lives. And this is my third point. By Jesus' death and resurrection, you, no matter what the inconsistency of life throws at you in 2016, can consistently guarantee that you are a child of God. That doesn't make you safe. Many of us in 2016 will face injustice, we'll face sickness, and we'll face tragedy. But hold on to this gospel promise, and let me proclaim to you, no matter what, the kingdom of God is ours. Because although spared in Bethlehem, he was crucified on Calvary for you, for me, for the whole world, to assure that in him you will be safe forever, delivered from the clutches of sin, death, and the devil. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast, produced and recorded at the parish of Calvary St. George's in the city of New York. If you feel led to support the continuing ministry of the parish, you can make an online donation at calvarystgeorges.org/giving. Thank you.